Alrighty. So, first of all, thank you all for having me and for inviting me to come out. I was telling them earlier, this is probably the deepest I've been inside the home. Like, normally I'm back there in, like, that program room, and so, like, it's really beautiful. So, I'm very happy to be here and to see all of y'all today. So, my name is Storm Schultz. I'm an author. My husband and I and our children, we live kind of, like, right on the Todd County line, actually. And my husband came and spoke, what was it? It was last year sometime. I don't know. Several months ago. And I think he spoke on historic kind of thing. So Michael Schultz, if you remember him. So I figure I'll give you a little, just tell you a little bit about myself and how I started writing. I know you guys have had a few other authors come by here. So if you have any kind of questions about writing or whatever, I'd absolutely love to chat about it. But if there's no like burning question that you have about literature that I may or may not be able to answer, I will hop right in. So, I grew up in a family that was always very creative, and we told stories, but I was always under this impression that the only person who could write stories was, like, adults, which I guess for the most part, most people publishing stories are adults. And when I was about 7, I told my brothers a bedtime story, and they actually really liked it, and it was something I had made up on all of my own. And it kind of sparked this idea of, like, hey, you know, maybe I can do this. Maybe this is something that I'm good at. And so I started telling more and more stories, and my parents, being very encouraging, started buying me copies of books that were like the 2004 publishing market book, and they would have all these lists of publishers and agents. And of course, at 9 or 10 years old, I was like, no, that's okay. You keep that over there. Which, you know what? Probably a good thing. I'm sure an agent would have thought it was very cute to get a handwritten pile of papers that was a story from like a 9-year-old. But it wouldn't have been made into any kind of books at that point. So as I got older and I kept writing little stories here and there, first like in journals and notebooks, and eventually my parents got one of those big, you know, desktop computers that was like 2 microwaves taped together, and you know, it takes up the entire living room. And I would type out painstakingly my stories on there. And even at about age 11, I won a poetry contest, and I thought, wow, okay, I really can do this. But, you know, the older you get, the more you get involved with things, and I went to college, and so I was really busy learning things and being married to my husband there in the beginning. And at some point, I didn't grow up in a Christian household, and so when I met my husband in 2017, he was actually the one who led me to Christ. And so soon after that, I had the idea of a story, which I do have with me. And this was the first book that I wrote, but not the first one that I published. So I had the complete story, and that had never happened to me before. As a child, it was always a sentence here, a paragraph there, a scene, a chapter, but nothing completely cohesive. And so early in college, I had this idea of a young adult retelling of Romeo and Juliet centered over a church split. With a happy ever after. I don't always clarify that, but somebody always asks, and I promise nobody dies in my books. I'm too soft-hearted even for my characters. And I'm like, you all live, you all have amazing happily ever afters, that's okay. So I had the idea and I started writing it. I graduated college, and at that point we were having our first child. And pregnancy tired, if you've ever experienced pregnancy tired, is a whole new level of tired. And looking back now, I have 3 children, and my youngest, he'll turn 1 in March, so next month. And he has some special needs, so we do a lot of PT and stuff. And I look back at myself with no children and just taking naps all the time, and I'm like, man, the books I could have written if I had just wrote them, because I have no time and I'm tired now and I'm writing way more than I did, you know, in 2019, 2020. So after my daughter was born, she was born January of 2020, and, you know, those first few months of having a baby, it's all crazy. And eventually I was like, you know what? I need to pick up this book again. And then COVID hit. And I was like, well, that's perfect. I can't do anything fun anyway. Might as well work on my book. And so I wrote, back then it wasn't actually called Hey Jude Carpenter. It was called Shakespeare in the Chapel. And I wrote it, and then I wrote a dystopian book, and then I wrote Actually Meant to Be. So that was the third book that I wrote. And for a while, I pursued traditional publishing, and so there are 2 main avenues or methods of publishing. And you have traditional, which is what we typically think of with the brick-and-mortar houses, and, you know, there's a bunch of people sitting around, and they're reading manuscripts, and they're writing in red pen and, you know, sending it off to the printer to print it. And so that's what we typically think of when we hear publishing, you know, Tyndale or Baker or Random House Inc., Penguin House, you know. And then you have independently publishing, or as it was called for a while, self-publishing. So when I was a kid, self-publishing was like a no-no. You didn't do that. That was the lazy route. Nobody should self-publish. It meant that your book wasn't good. The covers were terrible. There was, you know, all this. It had a bad rap. And somewhere around 2010, 2011, resources started changing. And probably because the internet is such an amazing resource now, and you can reach just about anybody with the click of a button, right? And as traditional publishing houses started to get a little bit more picky, you know, they were now getting manuscripts all the time. You know, it's a lot easier to write on your laptop than it is, you know, printing it out or mailing it. You can just email it or, you know, that kind of thing. So it's a lot faster now to submit books than it was 20, 30, of course, 50, 80 years ago. And so they started getting a little bit pickier. And in doing so, started to downsize some of, like, their freelance editors and freelance cover designers. And so those people were looking for work. And so authors who weren't particularly interested in traditional publishing, because there are pros and cons to that, as well as there are with independent publishing, started hiring these freelance editors and cover designers to make their books just as beautiful and just as professional as the ones coming out of these traditional houses. So when I had finished a couple of books, I guess it would have been 2021, I started pursuing some traditional publishing and meeting with different agents and proposing my book. And some people were interested. One of them wanted me to turn it into a series, but that didn't really fit the story for me. And then another one, Tyndale actually requested to look at it, but then ultimately decided not, which was a good thing because the book needed a lot more work. So I set it down, and at that point, you know, being rejected from a publishing house can be really tough, especially if you have your heart set on it. But when I got rejected, it was kind of like, oh, okay, that's fine. And it made me realize that, like, maybe independent publishing, or we call it just indie, being indie author, was maybe more up my alley. And at that point, I'd saved up some money, I had made all sorts of contacts, and so I started working on finding people who could do the pretty covers, could do the editing, so that I would also be able to produce a quality book without the drawbacks of traditional publishing. So traditional publishing has a lot of really great things about it. But one of the drawbacks for me was that they have control over your project ultimately. So they can tell you, you gotta change the title, it's not gonna sell. You gotta do this, you gotta do that. We want you to take out faith, we want you to add in this, we want you to do that. And not all publishers are as nitpicky as others, but it is a long road, and I was concerned that some things that I might find important would be asked to be pulled out, and then I would end up having to not be with that publisher after having worked so hard to get there. And so through some time and prayer, and talking to my friends who were either traditionally or indie published, I decided that it would be better for me to be indie published. And so at this point, 2022 was when my first book, Meant to Be, came out, and it's just obviously very thin. I'm a big talker. I'm a short writer. So Meant to Be was a single mom from the South in England, and you know she's trying to figure out how to live there, and she gets a delivery of bees, like stacks of bees. And decides to keep them, and then a cute Irish guy shows up with a baby goat, and so she's now, you know, got all these things plus a baby, and so that one came out in 2022, and pretty soon after, I took a break in 2023 from publishing, was like, I'm just going to write, and so having a whole year to write, I wrote like 4 books, and then I put them all out the next year, which unfortunately kind of set a precedent that like I was going to come out with 4 books every year, and that's not a precedent that I can uphold, so I've had to recently be like, look, I know I set the standard really high on myself for no reason, but we're backing, we're learning how to pace ourselves, right? We're learning every day. So I have 7 books out total. I don't have them all with me. Amazon likes to be very, very slow. So even if you request books ahead of time, because all of my books are printed through Amazon, they don't always make it in time to events, unfortunately. And especially with the snow, everything got all wonky. Because unfortunately, you can't do Prime shipping. when you wrote the book yourself, you would think that that would be, like, you know, a nice little perk of having been the person to write the book, but apparently not. So, let's see. I came up with Meant to Be First. So I have a couple of my first books and then a couple of the last two that I published. Soon after Meant to Be, I came out with Joy, which is a pregnancy after loss book, which is obviously a very niche type of book. And also very small. I've had two miscarriages between my three children, and I didn't want to write that book. That was not something that was on my radar. Wasn't even something I wanted to really think about a whole lot. And at some point, I sat down and I was like, you know, maybe I need to get some of these feelings out. And that book, which is a little different than fiction because it was just my personal experience, but I wrote it in less than 2 weeks. And I thought, well, there's, you know, that's maybe this is God telling me I need to actually do something with this. And so my goal with that one is to specifically encourage women who are walking through a pregnancy after they've had a loss. And my goal with that one specifically, because it is a ministry, is that I have it available for free as an ebook on my website. And I try to bring copies to the pregnancy centers around here just to give them a few and, you know, let them know, like, if you run out of copies, like, let me know because I will absolutely bring you more. And so I've had, especially Life Choice in Logan County, they've gotten several copies over the last couple of years since this has been published. And I mentioned, like, my son, my youngest, he has special needs, and he has spina bifida and hydrocephalus, so he needed a couple of big surgeries after birth. And so now I'm starting to get that, like, little seed of, like, maybe I should write something similar for moms who have babies in the NICU, or moms who have a medically complex child, just to kind of something small, personal, and hopefully encouraging. So I'm praying about that right now to see if that's something that God wants me to do in the coming years. At the same time, so I think the young adult came out shortly after this one. Then I had a Christmas book, which didn't make it here, actually set in Kentucky, and it's a fictional town, but it's based loosely off of Guthrie, so you see the big cow when the main character drives into the town. And there's actually a castle in Guthrie that I think is privately owned, but I was like, that is just so romantic. So, you know, she stays at a baking retreat at a castle in a small town in Kentucky. And at first I had people be like, there aren't castles in Kentucky. And I'm like, you've clearly never been to Kentucky, because, like, we have a lot of castles, actually, for being where we are. So my Christmas book, that one came out, and then I had a anthology. So just in case you don't know, an anthology is usually a collection of stories. It can be that one author has put together their own collection of stories, or oftentimes it's different authors have contributed. And so I have a few pieces in anthologies that I didn't head up, but this one was a pro-life anthology with the goal that whenever the anthology was sold, that the money made off of that would go towards buying more copies of Joy so that I could give that to pregnancy centers. And then this, so that was all 2024. And I had built up a bit of esteem and I had committed myself to writing finishing two books in 2025. And then I learned pretty quickly that that was it was much harder than I had originally anticipated. So I love dates. That is a thing that drives my author friends crazy. So Meant to Be was published on World Bee Day. I love that. That's something that, like, people are like, did you know that your book shares the same day as World Bee Day? And I'm like, yes, I spent a lot of time figuring out which date was important to me. This one is my, she falls into a copy of The Great Gatsby and there's a murderer loose. But it wasn't even a story that I had really on my mind, but last year was the 100th anniversary of The Great Gatsby being published. And it was like, well, how can you not write a book and have it share the same birthday as The Great Gatsby? You know, so I was like, I'm committed to this because I love the date. Not because anybody else told me I had to have it that day. I wanted to have it published that day. And about the same time, about the month before, I had my son. And so I was, you know, in and out of the NICU with him and learning how to do life again with, you know, another baby in the mix. And I had committed myself to write this book, which is the last one that I just came out with. And it was part of a collab. So two other authors with me each wrote a book in a series. And I was committed. And I don't like going back on my commitments. And so I pushed myself to write this one as quickly as I could and still have good quality. And luckily the ladies that I was writing with were very, very like gracious, because there were times where I was like, look, I might have to push back my publishing day because I don't know if I'm going to get this done. But they were so gracious and they were so encouraging. And so I was very lucky to have gotten that out, you know, the way that I did and not have to push back a bunch of deadlines. But through that, you know, this rush of like having 6 books come out in 2 years, and last year, you know, making the transition with adding another baby and then going through some postpartum depression, it was kind of like God was saying, like, okay, you've got to slow down. You've set yourself too fast. And so this year specifically, I've told all my readers, like, I have a book that's coming out later this year, but it was written like 2 years ago. Like, I just have to edit it. And so I'm trying to be really intentional with my writing now and really sit with the characters. And, you know, I don't think that any of my books are lacking, but I also know that you can grow. You know, the more that you do something, the better you get at it, right? And we know that with, like, sports especially. Like, if our kids play sports, it's like, yeah, you know, the more my son practiced baseball, the better he gets. And the same way it is with, you know, the art or the craft that you particularly work on. So, which leads me back to my YA being the first book I ever wrote. And it was not the first that I published. And that is a good thing. That is a typically given advice that more seasoned authors will often give the new authors, where it's like, don't publish your first one. I feel like that's pretty good advice. Because going back to it, you know, after it sat for like a year and a half, going back, I was like, ooh, yeah, no wonder Tyndale rejected this, you know? So I've learned a lot, and I've really enjoyed growing in this fashion. So anyway, that's a bit about the books, the writing, the publishing method that I lean towards. Yeah, I guess that's about it. Does anybody have any questions?
I guess, did you always know you were going to be a writer? Did you go to school, like, for English?
I ended up in English. I wanted to be a writer from quite little, or a zookeeper. But that was because I thought I could pet the tigers, and then I found out you couldn't pet the tigers. And it was a lot less interesting after that. And I thought, well, I'll just write about somebody who can pet tigers. So I did. I really liked storytelling, but I originally was going to teach German. My mom's from Germany, okay. And so I thought, you know, I have a big heart for language in general. And then it turns out I'm even worse with German grammar than I am with English grammar, which is why I hire editors. And I was like, okay. No, and so I went to Eastern Kentucky University, actually. So I was saying that we lived over like in Lexington area. And so I got my degree in English, and through those creative writing classes, because I hadn't really written creatively in a little while. And I took like just a creative writing class and a poetry class. And I was like, I miss this. And my professor, Dr. Smith, he was very encouraging. And I had another professor. I actually just had to find her on LinkedIn the other day, because I was like, I told her about this book back when I was taking her young adult literature class, and she was very encouraging. And so I was like, I gotta tell her that I wrote that book. Like, she probably doesn't know, you know, and like, send her a copy or something, even if she doesn't read it. Like, she really influenced me to have that courage and excitement towards that avenue. So I always really liked telling stories, and as a kid, I wanted to get published by Random House Inc., which, because of my faith content, Random House Inc. would not be interested in me, which is okay. But I had to kind of lay that down at first, because I was like, oh man, there goes my childhood goal, which is always kind of hard to let go. But I think the Lord used it in a really awesome way instead.
Yeah. How do you interact with your readers, and like, how has that grown over time?
How do I interact with them? Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty active on Instagram, mm-hmm. which I don't know if y'all are too familiar with Instagram, but the bookstagram aspect of Instagram is like just huge. So I have met a lot of really awesome people through that. And then I'm part of a couple of different writers groups. I actually started one that's in person that meets in Clarksville, because like there's several local, I'm sure you guys have met a couple of the local authors from here, but there's actually several in this area. And through them, I've gotten to meet more and more people. I typically like to go to different conferences, and then I have like a newsletter that I try to send out fairly often and just tell people about what's going on, where I'm in with the project, sometimes about my life. Like when we got the diagnosis of my son, like I had a lot of my readers praying for me, and so I try to give them little updates about how he's doing as well. So mostly through social media. And then, like, I like to do some of these smaller, like, Christmas markets and stuff. Like, I love going to, like, Lewisburg had one this last December. And it was really fun just getting to meet people kind of. I'm obviously a personal kind of person, so, like, social media is great, but I love to actually just kind of, like, chat about it in person. But, yeah. Were you going to say something? Not to put you on the spot.
No, you're fine. I mean, when you get the rejection letter, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, any work of art is essentially a child in some ways.
Yes.
So it's like somebody said your baby's ugly.
Yes.
Yeah. So how do you hold on to the dream of continuing to see that through?
Yeah.
And realize, okay, they didn't like it, but that doesn't mean I don't like it. Yes. It doesn't mean somebody else won't like
yes.
it.
Yes.
I mean, Dr. Seuss could wallpaper a house with rejection letters.
Right, or J.K. Rowling.
Right.
She was, yes. You're actually the second person today to make that comparison of, like, my book being like a baby that somebody calls ugly if they don't like it. So, this isn't a theme today. No.
Oh, darn, I was hoping to be original.
No, I was talking to my friend, because, like, even now, having books out, you get bad reviews.
Sure.
Like, or people will give you a good review. They'll give it 5 stars or 4 stars. And then they'll spend 3 paragraphs talking about the stuff they didn't like. And so even though you have a 4-star review, it's just, well, I didn't like that this happened and this and this and this. And you're sitting there like,
I thought you liked it.
Do you want me to write more books or go cry in a corner? Like, what's the goal here? So you have to, at some point, a pretty common saying that there's a guy that I listen to his podcast. He's always talking about find your Timothy. So you find your ideal reader and you write books for them. And if somebody else picks it up and they're not your ideal reader, it's like, it's okay. It's not for you. Like, you might not have liked that I have a lot of animals in my books. So in Meant to Be, there's a baby goat that, like, just absolutely destroys a dinner setting. And in my Christmas book, there's a rooster that breaks into the kitchen and eats all the cookies. And so, like, there's always somebody who's like, that's unsanitary. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, it's just, you grow up on a farm and eventually you have to incorporate the, you know. So, but then you realize, like, well, maybe the book's not for you, but it's for the person who thinks animal shenanigans destroying human dwellings is just super funny, you know. But it is still hard. Like, that my friend this morning, I was like, it's really hard to write the perfect book. And I mean, we have a perfect book and people still don't like it. So, and she was like, well, yeah, I mean, but it is. It's hard to, like, sometimes be like, okay, the book just wasn't for you. It's okay. But there are still times where I'm like, which that rejection, because I'd already kind of started leaning towards independently publishing, I was like, well, okay, you know. And it was the first one I'd written. So I don't remember actually taking it too awfully hard. And sometimes you get kind of nervous about other people reading your stuff.
Right.
So I was kind of like, well, that's fine. That means nobody will have to read it anyway. But yeah, it is still kind of a battle, even after, like, 7 books and having been actively publishing for, what, 4 years? Which is not that long in the grand scheme of things. But I have to just actively not read my reviews anymore. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll ask my friend of, like, will you go and just check and see if there's a good review that I could share? But otherwise, you know, you'll find something where somebody, 5-star review, glowing thing, but they mention one line that they didn't like. And suddenly all I can think about is that one line. And I'm like, I should have never published the whole book. Like, just burn it all down. Never, like, you did. So, but you can't live like that, right? You can't live in fear of somebody, some hypothetical person, not liking the thing that you have worked hard on. And so Right, yes. So you have to just kind of ignore it and hope that nobody tags you in a bad review, because then you just end up reading it like a bad train, you know, train wreck.
That's why I don't read our Facebook comments.
Yeah. And it's hard because you have to kind of put up that boundary. Somebody that I've last night on Facebook in a book group that I'm in, somebody was talking about a book. Not my book. And I had asked a question, like, clarifying something. And the author saw this post and started responding to us. And, like, neither one of us had said anything particularly negative, but you could tell the author was a little defensive. And I was like, ooh, she should have just scrolled. Because, like, you can't, because then you end up with this position where you sort of unintentionally push away a reader because you miss, I mean, Facebook comments You can't tell the tone, and we have to understand that as well, or even a book review. So sometimes you just have to scroll past stuff that you might be upset by. Does that answer? I'm going to talk for 10 minutes and ask you if that answered the question.
Lots of haters. Yeah.
Yeah. Make a villain list.
That was a Reader's Digest version. Too long to read.
I was going to say, I suppose if someone actually called your child ugly, you'd
Be a little different.
Yeah,
it'd be a little different. It'd be a catch me outside kind of thing.
Not my child.
Right, it is a little bit different, right? And you have to also be like, well, I put it out here, you know, like I'm not taking my child and setting her out in the middle of the street and saying, everybody have your opinion, right? But I am taking the book and I'm setting it out. That's true. Well, most parents hopefully don't do that. But, you know, this book, you know, I'm saying, okay, this is for you to read. And then hopefully you don't tell me that it's the worst thing ever.